So this past week, I was able to speak at a conference, and it was a conference for about 8,000 college students where we were able to equip them with tools to become intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. And while at the conference, it was crazy, it was busy, it was a lot of people, and I found that I needed to just get away. I had to get away and go and pray. And so I found this beautiful chapel, and I was able to spend some one-on-one time with Jesus. But it was very difficult, just like having all the students be so excited about the Lord and want so much of our time. And so anytime, though, I travel, I always try to find a place to get away, to just get away. Even if it's people who I love to be with, I just want to get away from everybody at certain points and just be alone with Jesus. I mean, he's my best friend, and there's nothing I enjoy more than just being in the presence of the Lord. And so if I'm on a pilgrimage, you're going to find me sneaking away at times to find a chapel. If I'm on vacation, I'm going to sneak away to go and be alone with Jesus in a chapel. If I'm doing any kind of missions or retreats, I'm going to sneak away at some point and go find Jesus and be alone with him in a chapel, just he and I. On one of my trips, I remember I was just really busy and I was being pulled in a lot of directions. And so I was able to find this beautiful chapel, and it was empty and nobody was there but God, but Jesus and me. And it was great. It was just he and I. And as he and I were in this chapel together sharing hearts, another minister came in the room, another priest came in the room, and the priest who came in the room seemed pretty distressed. He seemed pretty upset. And so it was kind of hard to focus on the Lord because of the priest who seemed like he was going through something. And so I just asked him, I said, are you okay? Like, can I pray for you? And he went on to share with me that he was upset because he had received a new assignment from his superior. And anytime any priest receives a new assignment, like, I get it. It could be emotional, right? Because whenever we serve a group of people for a number of years, sometimes we fall in love with those people. And we develop really great relationships with those people. And it can be very difficult to leave those people and go to a new community. So my heart went out to this priest, like, I can't imagine what you're going through. You must have really loved your previous assignment. But as we began to go deeper in the conversation, it became apparent to me that he wasn't upset because of the people that he was leaving. He was upset and disappointed because of the people that his bishop was sending him to serve. His bishop was sending him to serve a predominantly African-American Catholic community. And he didn't want to serve black people. And he said, I don't know black people. I don't understand their culture. He said, I don't know how I'm going to preach to them. I don't know how I'm going to relate to them. They might not like me. I don't want to go there. And as he was venting to me, all I could think was, like, do you know Jesus? Do you even know Jesus Christ? Because if you knew Jesus Christ, you would know what he says, because God speaks to us today the same he spoke yesterday. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ made it very clear in the Gospels that he wanted his apostles to go out and make disciples of all nations, not just some nations, not just with the nations that looked like us, not just like the nations that we came from, but all nations. The word nations is translated to the Greek ethnos, which means ethnicities. Go out, make disciples of every ethnicity, is what Jesus Christ says. When he said this to the apostles eventually received the Holy Spirit. And the first thing they did when they received the Holy Spirit was they went out in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, they went out and they made disciples of all the nations, of nations of people who came from European descent, and people who came from African descent, and people who came from Asian descent. It's recorded. Every single nation was listed of who they went out to share the joy of the gospel, who they went out to share Jesus Christ with. And when people heard Jesus Christ, their hearts were set on fire, and they were transformed, and they went out, and they shared Jesus. Supernatural fruit came from the apostles being obedient to the command of Jesus, to the demands of discipleship, to simply go out. But this priest was nervous. This priest was uncomfortable. This priest was upset because he didn't know people who were African American. And because he wasn't in relationship with people who were African American, because he wasn't proximate to people who were African American, he had what we call a stereotype about an entire group of people who he did not know personally. Stereotypes are beliefs that we have about people, right? He had a belief about this group of people that they wouldn't like the way he preached, that they wouldn't like him, that they wouldn't accept him, that they would not be able to relate with him even though he had never met them. And because of his stereotype, there was a prejudice that he had. Prejudice is always bad. Prejudice is negative feelings. He had negative feelings about this assignment because of his stereotype. And because of his negative feelings, his prejudice, he wanted to discriminate and not share Jesus with this entire group of people who he did not personally know yet. All this changes whenever we simply just go out and meet the people who we don't know. Go out and get proximate with the people who we're not currently abiding in relationship with. I remember on one occasion, I reached out to a bishop friend of mine. His name is Bishop Shelton Fobb. He was a priest for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. He was a seminarian here at Holy Rosary a number of years ago. Then he became the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and now he's the ordinary bishop of the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. He's a phenomenal bishop, probably a future saint. And on one occasion, I was asking him, I said, Bishop, like, what do you do in a situation like that where you're worried if people are going to like you or not? You're worried if people are going to accept you. And he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, Josh, I said, what I've come to realize is that it's not so much about whether the people who your bishop sends you to serve will accept you. It's more so about whether or not you will accept the people. Whether you will be willing to walk with the people wherever they're at. Whether you will be willing to accompany the people, whoever they are. That's what's more important. See, that's what God calls all of us to go out, get proximate, get real close to people. Because we can only share Jesus in the context of real relationships with people. A number of years ago, I woke up at like 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember the exact time, but I remember waking up because I had a dream that was very real, it seemed. And I haven't shared this with you before, but I had a dream that God sent me to Holy Rosary. And after that dream, I went to the diocese that day. I had a meeting with the Liturgy, Art, and Music Board. I used to be a member of this commission in our diocese where anytime a church wants to do any renovation or they want to build a new church, they have to go through the Liturgy Board. And after they go through us, we'll give them the approval and the bishop will then sign off on it. And so that day, the church that came to present to the Liturgy, Art, and Music Board was, guess who? Holy Rosary. It was Deacon Johnny Veron, and he came to present the renovations to Holy Rosary because at that time y'all went through the flood. And the only thing I knew about Holy Rosary was Miss Dolores Acosta and the ladies auxiliary because throughout my seminary formation, she would call me monthly to check on me, and the ladies auxiliary would support me financially to help me to get through seminary formation. That's the only thing I knew about this parish was her and them. And so I asked Deacon Johnny, I said, hey, look, I had a dream about Holy Rosary. Can you tell me about the parish? And he said, well, you know, right now we need a pastor. He said, right now we don't have a pastor in the parish, and so you should pray about coming. And so I did. I prayed about coming, and then God's will be done. The bishop assigned me to Holy Rosary a few months later, and I was excited. I was so excited to finally be a pastor. I was excited to come and to serve this parish. And whenever the announcement became public that I was coming here, people began to talk about it. And a group of people from Baton Rouge back home reached out to me, and they said, hey, are you comfortable going to Holy Rosary in Santa Monica? I said, well, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm a little uncomfortable being a pastor. I've never been a pastor before, but I'm excited. I feel like the Lord is going to provide. And they said, but like, do you know the history of what's happened in Santa Monica? And I said, no, I mean, tell me. And they said, well, I mean, in the early 2000s, the Bayou Knights of the Ku Klux Klan were still active in Santa Monica. And I said, no, I wasn't aware of that. And so they said, you know, maybe you should tell your bishop that you don't want to go there, right? Because these people had a stereotype about all of Santa Monica because of some people in Santa Monica. The stereotype was everybody in Santa Monica must be like the Bayou Knights of the Ku Klux Klan because some people are like that. And so there was a prejudice that they had against people in Santa Monica who they didn't know, who they weren't walking with, who they weren't proximate to, who they were not abiding in relationship with. And because of their prejudice that they had against people in Sanamal, because of a stereotype they had about people in Sanamal, because of one small group of people, they encouraged me to discriminate and to tell my bishop I shouldn't come here. I shouldn't go to Holy Rosary in Sanamal and share Jesus with those people in that town. But praise God, that's not my personality, and so I didn't listen to their stereotype. And I said, God is sending me here. I believe God speaks to the voice of my bishop, and so I'm excited about going to Holy Rosary. And so I came here, and I entered into relationship with everyone. I listened to everyone's story. I prayed with everyone. I met everyone in the community. And yes, there were some people who I met here since I've been here for the past 2.5 years who support the ideology of the Ku Klux Klan. There have been people who I've had some very uncomfortable conversations with, where they've been extremely insensitive and said some very racially prejudiced remarks to me that were heartbreaking. That's true. But I met other people who were very uncomfortable with the presence of the Bayou Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in the early 2000s here in this community. I met other people who were indifferent. I met other people who were opposed, and other people who honestly didn't even know that they had a presence here in this community. But everybody, whether they supported their ideology, whether they were indifferent to their ideology, whether they were uncomfortable with it, opposed to it, or did not even know about it, everybody was invited to discipleship. Everybody was invited to Jesus. Everybody was invited to dwell with us here in our small group Bible studies. They were invited to dwell with us in our missions and our retreats. They were invited to dwell with us in Eucharistic adoration. They were invited to dwell with us in our cafe. Everyone was invited to accompany us here at our parish in relationship with Jesus Christ. And the fruit of that has been nothing less than supernatural. It's been supernatural fruit. This parish is now recognized and now known by people outside of this community throughout the diocese as a parish of intentional disciples. People from other parishes in our diocese call us and ask us, how can we be more like you people at Sanamal in Holy Rosary Catholic Church? We want our parishes to look like your church. People from other dioceses across the nation also reach out to our parish community. Our community is recognized over and over again for the supernatural fruit that is happening here. And that supernatural fruit is only happening here because we became a community of people who were very proximate to each other, who were very close to each other, who leaned into relationship with each other, and who shared Jesus with each other. There's a saying that if you have a bad pastor, the people in the community will probably be very sinful. If you have a good pastor, the people will probably be mediocre at best. Like, they might go to church on Sundays, but that's about the extent of their relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have a holy pastor, the people will be saints. The people will transform their entire community. I, in no way, shape, or form, think that I am a holy pastor. I do strive. Though I do strive for holiness, I do strive to continue to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And St. Paul says in the New Testament, he says to his disciples, he says, imitate me as I imitate our Lord. And I would encourage my community here at Holy Rosary to imitate me, not in the ways that I've fallen short, not in my brokenness and my imperfections, not in my sins, but to imitate me in the ways that I have fulfilled the demands of discipleship and imitated our Savior Jesus Christ and gone out to encounter people who are different, to lean into relationships with people who are different, so that we can continue to manifest in our community supernatural fruit. In today's gospel, the Magi went to go visit Joseph and Mary. The Magi, what a lot of people don't know, is the Magi were not Jews. They were not Jewish people. The Magi were Gentiles. Gentiles had different beliefs than the Jews. Gentiles worshipped a little differently than the Jews. Yet these Gentiles went out of their Gentile community to go lean into relationship with a Jewish community. And because they went out of their holy huddle of other Gentiles and leading to a relationship with Joseph and Mary, they were able to encounter and experience the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior Jesus Christ in his incarnation in the child Jesus. They were able to abide in relationship with Jesus Christ that is supernatural, all because they got out of their comfort zone. They got out of their community and leaned into other people in the wider community. That's what we're called to do. In canon law, this is this big book. A lot of people think it's pretty boring. It's called the Code of Canon Law. It describes the laws of all the church. And one of the laws in canon law that we are invited to abide by is this. Is that we're responsible for the salvation of everybody in our geographical boundaries. As a pastor, I'm not only responsible for your salvation, those of you who come to sit in our pews, I'm responsible for everybody in the geographical boundaries of our community at Holy Rosary. Everybody. So there's a map that we have in the office of our geographical boundaries. It's outlined. I'm responsible for everybody's relationship with the Lord, not just the people who show up. And by virtue of me being responsible, the entire community of disciples is responsible as well now. We're all responsible. God placed us here. God invited us to be in relationship with him in the sacramental life of the church so that we can be the missionaries that he sends out to our geographical boundaries to invite people to discipleship. And so what we're invited to do is we're invited to examine the people who live in our geographical boundaries. We're called to examine the people who live in our community. And after we look at all the different people who live in our community, people who are of European descent, people who are of African descent, people who are of Asian descent, people who are of South American descent, people who are different genders and different ages, people who come from different political ideologies, and people who come from different religious backgrounds. We look at all the differences that exist in our community, and then we look at our church, and we say, who lives in our geographical boundaries that doesn't come to our Bible studies here at Holy Rosary? Who lives in our geographical boundaries that doesn't participate in our missions and retreats at Holy Rosary? Who lives in our geographical boundaries that does not hang out with us in the Full of Grace Cafe at Holy Rosary? And who lives in our geographical boundaries that does not adore Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament in our little chapel here at Holy Rosary? And whoever those people are, whoever they may be, that's who God is inviting me to go out and invite them to discipleship here with us in our community. One thing that we have to recognize when it comes to discipleship is this. Who I choose to invite to my Bible study, who I choose to share Jesus Christ with, and who I choose to not invite to my Bible studies, and who I choose to not share Jesus Christ with in my geographical boundaries of my community, there will be eternal consequences. There will be eternal consequences for who I share Jesus with and who I don't share Jesus with. First and foremost, for the people in my community. God created us in this season of time, placed us in this community, in this specific time of history, for us to be the ones to go out to our workplace environments, to our neighborhoods, to the grocery store, to our classrooms at school. And he created us to be the ones to share Jesus. To share Jesus with all of our brothers and sisters, whoever we meet, no matter what background they come from, we're called to share Jesus with everybody. And if I don't share Jesus with these people, there will be eternal consequences. Not only for them, but for us. For us. God will hold us accountable for who we chose to share Jesus with and who we chose to not share Jesus with as well. So when we take inventory of our Bible studies, when we take inventory of our missions and retreats, when we take inventory of our fellowship at the cafe, when we take inventory of those who adore, we ask the question, who do I see and who do I not see? I know it's very politically correct in this day and generation to say, oh, I don't see color. I'm colorblind. That sounds very virtuous, but in reality, it's not. Because if I don't see color, I don't see who's not at the table. I don't see who's not in my Bible study. I need to see color so I can know who's not sitting with me. I need to see gender so I can see who's not worshiping with me. I need to see age so I can see who's not represented at my table. We're supposed to see these differences so we can be able to say, oh, that's who's missing. That's who God's calling me to invite into our community, into our family, into our church. There's a cartoon many years ago that came out, and I saw it when I was a kid, and I never forgot it. And in this cartoon, there was a depiction of heaven. And in this cartoon's depiction of heaven, it showed that there was a Catholic heaven and that there was a Protestant heaven. And the Catholic heaven, everybody was drinking and having a party. And the Protestant heaven was really boring. And I hope we all recognize that there's no such thing as a Catholic heaven and a Protestant heaven. There's just one heaven. But how many of us have Protestant people in our community and we have stereotypes about them because of what we read on the internet, what we read in a book, what we heard on a podcast, but we actually have never leaned into a relationship with that person who is Protestant. So we really don't actually know them. We just know about what we read. So we have a stereotype about them and we have different beliefs about them that might be negative, and we might have different responses to them that might not be very inviting, and we might not share Jesus with them because of what we believe about them because we don't actually know them well. There is no such thing as a Catholic heaven and a Protestant heaven. There's only one heaven. There is no such thing as a black heaven and a white heaven. There is only one heaven. There is no such thing as an English-speaking heaven and a Spanish-speaking heaven. There is only one heaven. And get this, there is no such thing as a Republican Party heaven and a Democratic Party heaven. There is only one heaven. And so if I, right now, today, am not inspired to pray for my community and for my church and for my family to look like John's vision of heaven that he had in the book of Revelation. And when he had a vision of heaven in the book of Revelation, he saw all people from every race and every nation and every tongue. If it is not my prayer for my earth, my community, my church, and my family to look like heaven, then maybe heaven isn't for me.